This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's something most of us don't even think about until it starts to cause a little bit of trouble. Frequent bathroom trips at night, a weak stream, or feeling like you can't quite finish. There's small changes that can point to a bigger issue. And this month, we're focusing on prostate health for all, because everyone with a prostate deserves good care. Well, joining us is pelvic health physiotherapist, Darren Pert from Pelvic Health Melbourne. Darren, welcome to Drive.
Thanks, Warren. It's good to be here.
For those who've never really thought about it, what exactly does the prostate do, and why does it matter for both urinary and sexual function?
So the prostate is a really small gland, usually the size of a walnut, that's located just below the bladder and in front of the rectum. And it's a real integral part of the male reproductive system. So its real primary function is to produce a fluid that helps nourish and protect the sperm, which makes up about 30% of semen volume. Now, because of its location surrounding the urethra, a really enlarged or inflamed prostate can directly affect...
Oh, it looks like we've lost Darren. Just hold on a second.
Joy Drive.
Melbourne. Darren, have I got you on the line?
Oh, you do have me. Oh, yes, you do.
Goodness for that. Now, Darren, let's start at the beginning, because case some people missed it, tell us what the prostate does.
No worries. So the prostate is a small gland about the size of a walnut, located sort of just below the bladder and in front of the rectum, and it's a real integral part of the male reproductive system. Its main function is really just to produce fluid, and this fluid nourishes and protects sperm, which makes up about 30% of semen. Now, because of its location surrounding the urethra, an enlarged or an inflamed prostate can directly affect the urine flow. Now, because the prostate surrounds the urethra, when it's enlarged, the prostate not only grows outwards, but it actually grows inwards. And because of this, it can obstruct that flow of urine, leading to symptoms like weak stream or incomplete emptying. Now, the prostate health also impacts sexual function. So think of conditions like benign prostate hyperplasia, or BPH, or even prostate cancer treatments can lead to erectile dysfunction, decreased libido, or ejaculatory issues such as delayed ejaculation. Or there's something else that's called retrograde ejaculation, and that's actually where the semen travels backwards into the bladder instead of exiting through the urethra. Now, most people don't realize this, but after prostate cancer, many men experience what's called a dry orgasm, and that's because the prostate and seminal vessels are completely removed post-prostate surgery.
When should people start paying attention to their prostate health? Is there a certain age or stage where checks become very important?
Yeah, it is really important to start checking, especially if you have a father or a brother diagnosed with prostate cancer. It's recommended then to start talking to your GP about prostate health about from age 40, all right? For men with a history, without a family history though, those conversations should begin around 50. Or earlier if you start to notice any new urinary symptoms like increased frequency, increased urgency, or changes in your flow. Now, testing usually involves real simple, like just blood test. And for most men aged at an average age risk, this test is recommended every 2 years, so between 50 and 69. If you've got that family history, it might be a little bit more frequent, all right, than 2 years. And in case you're wondering what PSA stands for, it's called prostate-specific antigen. It's a protein that's produced by the prostate, and it's normally found in semen, but small amounts of it enter the bloodstream. So it's a real simple way for them to test the levels and to monitor whether or not something's going a bit wrong.
Darren, let's say we do have one of these PSA tests and it comes back a little bit elevated. That doesn't necessarily mean anything's wrong, though, does it?
No, 100%. It does not mean that anything's wrong, which is why they monitor it, okay? And everyone's level is going to be different. So they monitor your level specifically. So obviously there's certain levels that they go, yep, that's too high. We're going to go get you tested, do further testing. They normally check also what's called the ratio of free to total PSA as well. And at some point, then you might get referred to a urologist. And those next steps then involve getting an MRI, looking at a detailed picture of the prostate. If anything's found, they'll go and do a biopsy. So they'll do that under with an ultrasound and take out a few tiny samples, and they'll go off and test them. If it is found, that's when you go down the road of getting a CT scan and then chatting to your urologist about all the different treatment options available.
We're chatting with pelvic health physiotherapist Darren Pert about prostate health, what it does, how to spot changes early, and why everyone with a prostate deserves some good care. Now, those symptoms, Darren, that you mentioned, like needing to get up several times at night or struggling to start or stop, can sound a bit like normal aging. How can someone tell when it's time to get checked and it's not just part of the normal aging process?
So I think it's when you start to notice that it's persistent or worsening. So things you really want to look out for is, so urinating more, so that's either during the day or at night, a change in your flow. So think of like a hose. So that hose with a bit of a kink in it, it's going to start to decrease in pressure. All right. You might start to notice that at the end of your urine, you're starting to really dribble out the end, or it might be really hard to start or to the flow of urine. You might also get that feeling that you can't fully empty. In really rare cases, you might see a bit of blood either in your semen or your urine, and you might start to get a little bit of pain as well, like during urination or ejaculation as well. So anything like that, you should 100% start to get investigated.
How simple is the checkup process? What can we expect when we go and see our GP and say, I need my prostate checked?
Yeah, so that's what I mean. So the first thing is PSA testing. So really simple. They'd go in and you'd have that chat. They'd see whether or not what age group you classify under. And from that, they'll just do that blood test. From there, I mean, gone are the rectal examinations. They're no longer a part of the actual initial testing phase of it. But somewhere down the track, your urologist might do that just to assess the size and the texture of the actual prostate itself. So it is quite simple, just a simple trip to the GP.
Now, we know lifestyle plays a huge part in overall well-being. What kinds of habits can really make a difference to prostate health?
So I think exercise is probably, you know, as a physio, I think exercise is quite important. So when we look at exercise, it really helps to regulate our testosterone and our insulin levels, both of which can influence prostate cell growth. Now, whilst testosterone is necessary for normal prostate function, imbalances, though, can contribute to enlargement or to cancer progression. Now, research also shows that men who engage in moderate to vigorous physical activity, such as brisk walking, cycling, or resistance training for at least 150 minutes per week have shown lower rates of aggressive and fatal prostate cancer in multiple studies. Other things to look at is diet. Diet can play a big role. So eating a real wide variety of plant-based foods will help give you antioxidants and fiber and phytonutrients that can support prostate function and reduce inflammation. Not consuming too much red meat, especially when it's charred or well done, has been linked to an increased risk of advanced prostate cancer. And that's probably due to the carcinogens found formed during high temperature cooking. And the things to avoid would be things like processed meats, bacons, sausages and deli meats, because they often contain things like nitrates and saturated fats, which may promote inflammation and hormonal imbalances.
Darren, we had some meat last night and had a yummy sort of not almost charred bits on the end. And I cut them off and threw them in the bin and got into all sorts of trouble. I said, no, they're not good for us. But they're the yummy parts, aren't they?
They are. They certainly are. But I think it's all about moderation, to be honest.
Now, the questions come in. What about if you're having male-to-male sex? Can that affect your prostate?
Look, if anything, there is some research out there to say that stimulation of the prostate potentially has the opportunity to reduce rates of prostate cancer as well. So I guess, you know, so that they talk to it in studies about, you know, masturbation or ejaculation. I didn't see why, you know, stimulating it in other ways wouldn't help as well.
There you go, Rob. You've got the all clear. Go and enjoy yourself. I suppose a lot of prostate discussions focus on cisgender men, don't they? Why is it important to make these conversations inclusive, I suppose, of trans women, non-binary, intersex people as well?
Look, I think it is really important that everyone with a prostate, deserves equitable access to prostate healthcare. And inclusive discussions ensure that no one in Australia's LGBTQI plus community is left behind or excluded from life-saving information. Like, I believe that health professionals in Australia have an obligation to build that trust by creating real safe, affirming, and inclusive environments for people in our community. So people seeking prostate and sexual health care really deserve, you know, top treatment. This means that using gender-affirming language, respecting diverse identities, and acknowledging that trans women, non-binary people, and intersex individuals may have a prostate, and they may require screening as well, and support. And the problem is, like, many members of our community delay or avoid care due to discrimination, misgendering, or just lack of provider knowledge, which can lead to later diagnosis and poorer outcomes. So some really great Australian-led initiatives and guidelines, such as those from Thorn Harbour Health and Transcend Australia, really advocate for inclusive sexual and reproductive healthcare, ensuring that prostate health is part of a holistic, person-centred support for LGBTQI plus people. Now, by embedding inclusive practices into prostate healthcare, from clinical guidelines to everyday consultations, members of our community in Australia can ensure equitable outcomes for all people with a prostate. True health equity means not only acknowledging diversity, but actively removing barriers so everyone, regardless of gender identity or sexual orientation, can access timely, respectful, and life-saving care.
Darren, that was so well said. We need to make that into one of those squiggly things that goes on social media, and everyone needs to hear it. Finally, I want to say, I suppose, and I'm glad we're talking about it, because I feel like people still feel awkward bringing up anything to do with the prostate. And I suppose all sorts of parts of the body we're too afraid to talk about. So I'm glad we're talking about On Drive. And it's one of the reasons that I love having the chat with both yourself and Alex from Pelvic Health Melbourne, is we get to talk about these subjects that we don't talk about enough. What do you reckon?
Well, I get to talk about them every day.
Oh, we don't. Darren.
But what I have learned is there's so many men out there that have come into my clinic. They tell me that, oh, yeah, I ended up opening up to my friends and telling them that I've had prostate cancer surgery. And they're like, oh, guess what? So have I. I had it 4 years ago. So it is the type of thing that people don't talk about. But I think that needs to change, because the more people you have sort of in your corner supporting you, the better your outcomes are.
Is there a bit of a stigma around it?
I think there is, especially in the, you know, in the cis men, especially the older part. I think things are changing though. As the new generations come through, I feel like things are changing.
God, stigma is a horrible thing. What's your, I suppose, finally, your take-home message for anyone who's been putting off that chat with their GP about their prostate health?
My biggest takeaway is that it is simple. It is a simple blood test. Even if you have a fear of needles, I would still go and get it done. All right?
Have to look.
Because getting on top of it early means that you're going to have a much better outcome. Okay? So the sooner you do it, the better. All right? And then it's just like getting an annual checkup or an annual blood test, you know. Most people in our community will get one every 3 months. Mm. So it's pretty easy just to add on an extra one, you know, one that you can do every couple of years, and it's going to help save your life.
You won't even notice it.
Exactly.
Extra tube. Darren, good to chat with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
You too. Thanks, Warren.
That was our pelvic health physiotherapist, Darren Pert from Pelvic Health Melbourne.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.